Clear the fog, folks. Best Buy Windows and Siding believes our prices should be like our windows. Transparent.
Zero down, 0% financing, no hidden fees, just crystal clear deals. 10 custom windows, $59.50. Free installation and a lifetime warranty included. No surprises, just straight up value.
Transparent pricing means no tricks. Financing, simple with approved credit.
Call us today, 469-WINDOWS, or visit BestBuyWindowsAndSiding.com. Best Buy.
Savings are in full bloom at Tanger Outlets. Get up to an extra 25% off on top of everyday savings during Tanger Style, our biggest sale of the season. Find amazing value on your favorite brands. Visit Tanger.com.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
Got to admit something to you. Normally, I'm pretty good about this. You know, being in my business, you really do have to know when the time changes. I mean, just simply showing up to work on time and all that noise. This year, I woke up the morning. This was, I guess this was Saturday to Sunday in this last weekend. This year, when the time changed, we sprung forward in daylight saving time, and I completely had no idea it was coming. I got up. I thought I had, and this is, of course, it hit me on Sunday when I thought I had plenty of time to get ready for church. And it's like, wait a minute. No, I only got a half an hour because I looked down at my phone because it updated automatically. And my clocks around my house, of course, didn't. So about this, I know we talked about it with Sean Chastain and the show behind the show earlier in the week. But in case you guys didn't catch that particular podcast, I'm so over this changing time. And you all know the reason why. I mean, it's pretty fairly well known why daylight saving time was instituted by Benjamin Franklin. It was because it was a full utilization, I should say, of the daylight that we have naturally to be more productive citizens in this country, to get more man hours out of and more productivity out of daylight. Plus, it also stopped or cut down on the burning of candles, which was back in the day quite expensive. And that's how you lit up your house, is you lit a candle. And today, with our so-called modern conveniences, the ability to flip a switch and you got the light on, it has become a redundancy that has become more of a pain in the butt and a disruption to our circadian rhythm, I think is what they call that, your internal body clock, then it's more of a detriment now than a help. Because back in the day, I mean, conceivably you could get a little more rest. I mean, your chores, your entire chore and your work was existing and getting through the day. And well, that's just not the case anymore. We got to go to work and we work at all hours. And a lot of folks find this change in time to be quite disruptive, including the kids, in particular the kids. They've done studies, and I don't know how credible those studies are, but I know they've done studies, and I think the determination I remember was, is the conversion to daylight saving time actually stopped a certain percentage of absorption of knowledge from the kids because they were too tired. I think it was like 20%. Something like that, if memory serves, reduction in learning capability. There might have been far less than that. But anyway, I just don't see the point anymore. And so this year, it snuck up on me. And I had no idea until it was almost too late to make it to our normal services. Now, what didn't surprise me this year was this report that came out from Newsmax. The January 6th committee suppressed testimony from former White House Deputy Chief of Staff Anthony Ornato, that proves former President Donald Trump was willing to ask for 10,000 National Guard troops to safeguard the nation's capital on January 6, 2021, according to Representative Barry Loudermilk, chairman of the committee on House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight. Now, this guy, Loudermilk, is also the man who has discovered, if memory serves, discovered that Liz Cheney and this January 6th sham committee actually deleted evidence. Or it's nowhere to be found. We keep on asking for these files and they keep on refusing to turn them over. And some people are alleging they destroyed them. They destroyed, which is, by the way, illegal. Liz Cheney and this unselect committee, this illegitimate committee, destroyed them is what the supposition is. Let me continue to read. The Georgia Republican released the transcribed interview Friday in a press release. When interviewed by the Select Committee on January 28, 2022, Ornato was asked whether he called any discussion prior to the 6th, whether and how many National Guard troops to deploy on January 6th. Ornato replied that he remembered a conversation between White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and District of Columbia Mayor Muriel Bowser. I remember he was on the phone with her, And I walked in for something and I was there and he was on the phone with her and he wanted to make sure she had everything that she needed, because I think it was the concern of anti and pro groups clashing is what I recall, and not anywhere near the Capitol. This was just out in the mall area or at the event, and wanted to know if she needed any more guardsmen. And I remember the number 10,000 coming up. You know, the president wants to make sure that you have enough. You know, he is willing to ask for 10,000. I remember that number. Now that you said it, it reminded me of it. And that she was all set. She had, I think it was like 350 or so intersection control and those types of things, not in the law enforcement capacity at the time, he continued. And then that's the only thing I recall with the number 10,000 National Guardsmen. The distinction between the Select Committee's findings and Ornato's testimony turns on the word order. In its report, the Select Committee wrote, "Some have suggested that President Trump gave an order to have 10,000 troops ready for January 6th. The Select Committee found no evidence of this. While the Select Committee said Trump did not order 10,000 troops to be deployed, Ornato testified that he heard Meadows say the president was willing to ask for 10,000. The former January 6th committee apparently withheld Mr. Ornato's critical witness testimony from the American people because it contradicted their premeditated narrative, Loudermilk said on Friday. Yes, narrative over news. That's what the January 6th committee has been. You know, Joe Biden, during his State of Confusion, State of Disunion address, he was very pointed in accusing conservatives of accusing President Trump of trying to hide the truth of what happened on January 6th, when it's been just the opposite. Leftists and their so-called Republican enablers have been the ones trying to hide what the government did, and in this case, didn't do on January 6th. No wonder they don't want President Trump back in the Oval Office. But the American people, it seems, do want him back. We recap Super Tuesday, the impacts on politics and the race for the White House. It's all coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Is Bidenomics really screwing up your world? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If Obamacare has you paying out the nose, call American Medical Plans. Don't let these Marxists destroy one-sixth of the U.S. economy and your access to health care without a fight. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Tucker Carlson's getting a wake-up call with his experience with Fox News. I've had a couple. When DirecTV stopped carrying Newsmax, I said to myself, self, why am I funding AT&T, DirecTV's parent company? So I made the switch to Patriot Mobile. I thought it was silly to send my money to those who were actively hurting me. I was also taught a very valuable lesson about independence, the foundational principles of the United States of America. And Patriot Mobile backs those values too: faith, freedom, prosperity. prosperity. When you make the switch at patriotmobile.com/storm, you're supporting your values, you're supporting a company that gives millions of dollars to the causes that you and I support, and you're also helping your liberty-loving Latino's voice stay free and independent. You'll also get an industry-leading coverage guarantee and discounts for multi-line users, veterans, first responders, active military. Why fund the woke one day longer? Switch to Patriot Mobile. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Or just go to patriotmobile.com/storm. Use my promo code STORM to get free activation. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
Folks, we're starting to see something happen here. And what's happening here is we're starting to see what I call the Rhino Reckoning. The American people are confronted with the most left-wing, anti-American, Democrat party that we've ever been subjected to in this country's history. And the American people are rising up and saying, look, if you're a Republican who wants to go along to get along with that and wants to help that and wants to enable that, sorry, you're out. We need somebody to oppose that. And what happened here in Texas was a political earthquake, as so many of these pro-Democrat Republicans operating on the sly, trying to con their voters, met with their demise. And normally, in a regular election, kids, in a normal time, I would say, you know, well fought, yada, 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 let's move on. No, I am going to be gleeful. I'm going to say this to you, pro-Democrat Republicans. You got what you deserved. You know what? I don't feel sorry for you. I don't wonder what you're going to do next. Frankly, I don't care, as long as you can't put me and my family in danger by catering and caving to Democrats. That's what I say, because it's too important now. The go-along to get-along crowd, we can't afford you anymore. Let me bring in the national discussion now. Ben Weingarten, editor-at-large of Real Clear Investigations and a senior contributor at The Federalist. Subscribe to his Substack at WeingartenSubstack.com. And Josh Hammer, he's Newsweek's senior editor-at-large, host of The Josh Hammer Show and America on Trial with Josh Hammer. Josh is also a syndicated columnist. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
All right, well, let's go with you, Ben, first. The big stories from Super Tuesday on the national level, what do you think?
Well, I think that on the national level, what last night confirmed is what I think many of us have been arguing for a long time, which is that the primaries, at least on the Republican side, are over. They have been over. And probably the most telling point is when you look at these exit polls in certain states, like a Virginia, for example, Nikki Haley's voters are Democrats, effectively. They're the most vehemently pro-Biden voters there are. Open primaries, I think this should be the death knell of open primaries, although I don't think it will be, because you essentially have Democrats trying to sow dissent on the Republican side and create the illusion of a contest where there is none. But this was the coronation of Donald Trump, and game on as we go to the general election. And the one thing I will note that is fascinating, and we can talk about the uncommitted vote on the Democrat side, the lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden. Thought it was very interesting. There was an article that dropped recently. I don't know who asked her about it, but an article in NBC News quoting Michelle Obama's staffers essentially saying she will not be running in 2024. Isn't it interesting that that little message is leaking right now? They are normalizing the fact that Operation Jettison Joe is moving forward at full speed. And I think if anything, last night just cements for the Democrats further the vulnerability he has, yeah, and the fact that they need to engage in some kind of chicanery to fundamentally change the trajectory of this election in a decisive way. But the big takeaway, huge win for Donald Trump, resounding win for Donald Trump. And as you noted, as went Texas, actually, so went the nation. This is a resounding blow, the death throes of the never Trumpers and really the Democrat saboteurs voting as Republicans.
Josh, your takeaways too, but also address what Ben just brought up about Michelle Obama getting out there and saying, yes, I'm not going to quote run, but she didn't say anything about not accepting the nomination, maybe a convention.
So I'll take the latter question first, Chris. I tend to be skeptical of the Obama rumors. My read on the Obama family is that they just love being in the limelight. I think that they relish these constant perennial, it seems, rumors that they are going to run. Look, they're leading a very cozy life right now. They're still making a ton of money from the Netflix deal and various other junkets. They famously were the first former presidential couple to not actually leave Washington, D.C., and they're pretty much calling the shots. I mean, there was that Tablet magazine, a great article by David Samuels this past year that essentially, I think a fair reading of this article with all the Obama quotes in it led me to believe and led many others to believe that Obama, in many ways, is actually running a shadow presidency right now, which is not surprising because there's so many former Obama officials there in the first
right.
place. So, I see no reason whatsoever why Michelle would formally get into this thing. I just think they feed off these rumors. They just love the limelight and the media speculating that they might do it. So I don't read too much into that. But when it comes to the rest of the results from last night, I certainly agree with that. It looks like Nikki Haley is going to drop out here within the next hour and a half or so, and she's certainly correct to do so. I'm not entirely sure why it took her this long. Look, there is no going back at this point to the pre-2016 Republican Party. The Republican Party, frankly, the American conservative movement, is just a fundamentally different beast than it was a decade ago. And conservatives themselves, card-carrying Republicans, elected officials, the chattering class, the commentariat, the intellectuals, the think tankers, everyone involved here can either make peace with that at minimum. Ideally, they would embrace it and try to further the righteous causes that have been kind of let loose by this more nationalist, populist tint of the Republican Party. Or, alternatively, if they really can't make peace with it, just go away. Just go work some other job and just get out of the limelight. And, you know, perhaps Nikki Haley will go back to being on the board of Boeing or something like that if she really can't make peace with Donald Trump.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, look, and I hear exactly what you're saying, and I think your read overall is correct on where the electorate is. And I think we can't extract, gentlemen, the complete, absolutely absurdity that is now that is the Democrat Socialist Party, an anti-American party, a lawless party, a party that doesn't believe in enforcing the Constitution, doesn't believe the laws apply to them. And in the face of this, a Republican Party that Americans who want a choice expect to rise up. But you've got the Bill Kristols of the world, the Adam Kinzingers of the world, the Liz Cheneys of the world, who say, no, 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 we have to go kiss the rear ends of all of these crazy Democrats, these leftists, from the lawfare to the open borders to the weakening U.S. military. And that's where you're seeing this mosaic play out of ideology and policy. And so, Ben, what do the results from last night tell us about the direction of not only the election moving forward into November, but also the mood of the country as they march toward November?
Well, I think it's very clear, and interestingly, and this is something that if Republicans were a smart party, they would exploit. Yeah, the left and the Democrats themselves are incredibly torn. They're at each other's throats. You know, typically, even though I do expect them to ultimately fall in line behind whoever the party ultimately picks in whatever form they pick it, of course, in the Obamas' native Illinois in Chicago at their convention or post-convention, The left itself is torn between the fact that all of the energy, all of the animating spirits come from the radical anti-American, anti-Western civilization, progressive left. And you see this every single day in part, although I do think it is ideological, but in part in the politics of an administration that is essentially on the side of Hamas and on the side of its state sponsor, Iran, in the Middle East. It's a perfect microcosm of that orientation, of that bent. However, Democrat voters, particularly Democrat voters of a different generation, say those over 45 years old, 50 years old, are more reasonable. They may stand with the progressives on a number of issues, but they don't like the fact that the streets have devolved into chaos, the drug abuse, the homelessness, the general breakdown in order, the fact that every single state now is a border state as a consequence of these policies, and they may not be fundamentally anti-American like that progressive animating base. So, again, if Republicans were smart, they would exploit that. That's point one. But point two is, to your point, there's a massive opportunity here to step in and say, We are going to put the American people first. There is going to be law and order. We're not going to destroy our police forces. We're not going to invite an invasion at the southern border. We're going to stand with our allies and punish our adversaries. We're going to prudently use America's strength. We're not going to systematically destroy our own energy dominance, which is the key strategic weapon, one of them, that we have. And I think Americans, that message would resonate with Americans. I think you see that in Donald Trump. Donald Trump operates as a more pragmatic than ideological person, mm-hmm. and I think that's allowed him to cut across different cross-sections of American society that other Republicans have not. But ultimately, I think Americans are screaming for change and actually for normalcy in contrast to what was supposed to be the normal presidency, which is actually the radically anti-American leftist presidency. So there's dissatisfaction broadly. That presents a tremendous opportunity. And the question is, will Republicans seize it?
And Josh, that's a perfect tee up to you, because as a conservative, I look at the Republican Party and the current leadership that has a mindset, you'll take power from my cold, dead hands. The Mitch McConnells, the John Cornyns, the Liz Cheneys, the Adam Crying Kinsingers, those individuals who see the absolute screw-ups of the Democrats and instead rising to oppose it, they want to lower the Republican Party so there's really no choice for the American people. You either choose terrible or catastrophic. And that's, to me, where the Republican Party is ill-equipped to handle this current version of the Democrat Party. Am I wrong?
So, you know, there was an old Israeli statesman by the name of Abba Eben, and many, many decades ago, probably 50 or 60 years ago, he famously said about the Palestinian Arabs, he said that they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And, you know, Chris, in my entire adult life, following politics, working in media, punditry, commentary, all that, I have just consistently been perplexed at the extent to which the Republican Party, perhaps somewhat ironically or perversely, tends to mirror the very Palestinian Arabs that Abba Eben was chiding so many decades ago back in the Middle East. Because Republicans also never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. We see this over and over again, and it's been a recurring theme. It's Lucy on the football. It's the self-owned. Now, having said that, if there is any reason for cautious optimism and a modicum of solace right now, I would say I can point to at least two developments. One is the fact that after the 2022 midterms, many of us were looking at the disappointments and concluded that the GOP's so-called McLeadership had to go. That would be Ronna McDaniel, Kevin McCarthy, and Mitch McConnell. Well, looking at all three of them, they're either gone or going. Mm-hmm. Kevin McCarthy is out. Mitch McConnell is resigning as leader of the Senate Republican Caucus. And Ronna McDaniel is out as well. So that's a huge coup. I mean, the very fact that we're having a change at the top of the so-called McLeadership certainly militates in favor of cautious optimism. And then the other reason for cautious optimism, as we were just discussing a few minutes ago, is looking at the primary results so far. There is simply no appetite outside of the most left-wing jurisdictions in America, places like Washington, D.C., and the Bernie Sanders, commie moonbag state of Vermont. There is simply no appetite for pre-2016 corporatism, establishment Republican Party antics, the likes of which Nikki Haley very much personally embodies. So but those are two things that I think really should provide us some optimism. Certainly in your state of Texas, Chris, I think at the state level, local level, there is very much some optimism based on some primaries that we saw last night there. So if we can start to replicate some of that success across the country, then I think we'll start to be in some really good shape here, honestly.
Yeah, gentlemen, as you go back to your national platforms, just take with you that the incumbent Speaker of the Texas House, a pro-Democrat Republican, a left-winger who actually is elected by Democrats and then blackmails Republicans to give the veil of legitimacy to him and then appoints Democrats to powerful committees to kill conservative legislation. He's now in a runoff and is forecast, if we're reading the electorate correctly, to fall, which is a political earthquake. The runoff itself in Texas is a political earthquake. If he goes down to defeat, ultimately, it will send a clear message. Let me just focus on Beijing Biden for a minute. As Ben brought up earlier, by the way, Ben Weingarten and Josh Hammer are guests right now. Ben, you mentioned, I took a snapshot of Minnesota last night, 75% of the vote in, and Joe Biden lost 20% of the vote to non-committed. Okay, 20% of the vote to non-committed, 8% to Dean Phillips, the challenger the biased press is trying to bury and pretend doesn't exist. Ben, what is your read on Joe Biden and the status of the Democrat Socialist Party?
Well, I think, you know, as I noted, when it comes to the kowtowing to the Dearborn vote, there's a similar vote in a state like Minnesota, and it's represented by Ilhan Omar, who, I'll give a shameless plug here, I literally wrote the book back in 2019-2020 on Ilhan Omar, American Ingrate, and the purpose of that book was to say that Ilhan Omar is not a radical fringe extreme of the Democrat Party. This is the future, if not the present, of an increasingly progressive anti-American Democrat Party. And those uncommitted votes that we're seeing from Michigan to Minnesota and beyond, that is meaningful. One, it's going to impact and push Joe Biden towards more anti-American and unpopular policies as we move towards the general election, because he needs those voters. But two, ultimately, even though I do believe that in large part, a large percentage of this uncommitted vote may ultimately come around in a general election, you only need to peel off a few percent in a few states to not vote or to engage in some kind of protest vote to make a massive difference. And by the way, it's not just Dearborn, or it's not just the major Somali cohort in Ilhan Omar's district that matters. It's blue strongholds, university towns, college towns, progressive urban areas across the country,
yep,
where if you have a small percentage move, and we're talking about last election in 2020, you know, tens of thousands of votes in a handful of precincts around the country that really swung an election, that is massive. That is decisive. So like I said, I do think even though the Democrats control every influential massive institution from the national security apparatus to the social media companies and the legacy media companies and on down, and maybe most importantly, they have dominated and manipulated the election procedures and processes to put themselves in the best position to exploit elections that are about receiving and collecting ballots rather than actually earning votes.
Right.
All that pessimism aside,
right,
they have real problems here because the Americans reject the outcomes of their agenda, and Joe Biden himself and the Democrat Party is caught between Barack and a hard place. That is the progressive left on the one hand and where rational, traditional liberal voters stand.
That, yeah, exactly. Between Barack and guys like Bill Maher. You know, Josh, I want to refine my last question to you. Same general theme about focusing on the Democrats. I interviewed Trump on Monday and I asked him about mass deportations. And I said that the Democrats were ushering in illegal aliens to cancel out the votes of American citizens. They've been given the vote in certain municipalities to do so. And they also want to backfill in these blue states so the census can allow them to maintain representation in Washington. So I was that statement by the Daily Beast was called false. And I said, none of that was false. They said, no, all that's happening. Yes, the voting is happening. And yes, the illegals are being counted in the census. But your attribution, the Democrats are doing this for those motives. That's what's wrong. And the AP said so. So, but the vast majority of Americans see what the Democrats are doing on the illegal immigration crises. And they're saying, you've got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah, look, Joe Biden's approval rating when it comes to the immigration issue, I mean, he's catastrophically underwater. I mean, majorities of even self-described Democrats do not tell pollsters that they approve of the way that the situation at the border is being handled right now. And how could you? I mean, how in the world could you, with any modicum of objectivity, how could you possibly look at the inundated state of that border, at these record numbers that Customs and Border Protection and Border Patrol are interdicting on a day-in, day-out basis at this point? I mean, how can you conclude that this is anything other than the very so-called invasion that Greg Abbott has been citing when he's been issuing his orders and passing legislation? A lot of that legislation has been unduly stopped by federal judges there in Texas, but Texas will get its appeal and so forth as well there. But look, immigration is the issue right now. There is no doubt about that. And the fact that immigration is the issue is one of many factors that is militating in Trump's favor as we approach the general election this fall. The entire nature of the Democrat coalition tends to be collapsing right now. If you look back at the Obama coalitions from 08 and 2012 and the Biden coalition from 2020, you basically have what I've referred to as this coalition of aggrieved interests, where you have various intersectional interest groups, identity politics, subdivisions, who all band together because they have some things that they are either upset about, or at least Democratic Party tells them that they should be upset about, perhaps more accurately. And if you look at the polling crosstab, it's not working right now for the Democrats. The national Hispanic vote is close to a toss-up. It's close to 50-50 right now. Black voters are peeling away from Democrats at a historic rate. The 18 to 35 demographic, probably the single most loyal pro-Democratic Party demographic in modern times other than the black community, the 18 to 35 demographic is looking close to a statistical toss-up as well. And then you have this Arab and Muslim discontent with the Israel-Gaza situation, but Biden can't get it right because, on the other hand, he's throwing Israel under the bus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Israel supporters aren't happy either. He's making no one happy. And immigration is just the perfect issue for Trump as well. So it's all looking like it's going in Trump's favor right now. The Democrats are in real, real danger here.
That's perfect. What you just said, he's trying to make everybody happy because he has no core values. He's trying to just please everybody. And when that happens, you tick everybody off. Ben Weingarten, he's with The Federalist, a contributor there, and Josh Hammer with Newsweek. Gentlemen, appreciate the time and analysis.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
That does it for this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me and yourself a favor. Two websites you ought to visit, TexasScorecard.com and ChrisSalcedo.com. The latest in Texas, the latest with Chris Salcedo's shows and the podcast. Everything we're doing can be found at ChrisSalcedo.com and TexasScorecard.com. So, until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government. It's measured by how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. Stay vigilant out there, my friends.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
The regular season is heating up. New stars are emerging, and that means more opportunities to win up to 25 times your cash on Prize Picks. The most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection on a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. Let it fly to turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Watch your favorite players and get paid doing it this basketball season. See your entries make progress during the game or make new entries for the second half and the fourth quarter. Three-pointers, assists, rebounds, and everything in between are yours for the taking. Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use code GET100. That's code GET100 on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.